Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive. It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Yeah. Let's go for a little ride.
The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper. We have made it to Friday. Trevor Valise here as well. We've got some good stuff going on today that we're going to chat with, including a little betting segment, and we're looking at college football today. So you guys, you and Trevor, of course, as always, did a lot of research. I basically just looked at a couple of places I've traveled to and said, oh, that's right, they've got a football team, so I'll go ahead and see how good they're going to be. We did look at Illinois. I mean, you know, that's something we all agreed. Let's look at Illinois and see what they're going to do. So it's going to be fun to get this done and see where it leads. But once again, I'm guessing you guys are bringing in good content, and I'll just be kind of here.
I don't know. As we talked about earlier in the week, I read an article about Paul DeJong today, which led into a $150 win. I don't know who has the better strategy, to be honest with you. I'm not sure.
I so bad last night wanted to bet another, like just throw out Harrison Bader at plus whatever and see what he can get done, but I didn't do that. That was, yeah, I need to let that one resonate a while. Because before that, I'd hit a couple of parlays. We could talk some baseball.
Well, I mean, I think we'd be remiss to not mention Derek and I's.
No, I agree.
17-1 hit off of yesterday's show.
Oh, man.
White Sox Field of Dreams game. I hope everyone was listening, and I hope for once they actually took our advice. It was Luis Robert to get a hit, Tim Anderson to get a hit, Eloy Jimenez to get a hit, Aaron Judge to get a hit, Jose Abreu to hit a home run, and White Sox money line.
Good call.
So I hope that someone out there was taking that solicited advice and cashing on it, because that was a pretty insane game last night, a pretty cool thing that happened. So
yeah,
hopefully someone out there was listening to us and actually taking in what we had to say there. But anyways, I'll let you get back to talking some football. I know that's what you were.
Who do the Bears open with? Do you remember?
The Rams.
Is the Rams? Oh.
Yeah, we had the lucky draw of the Rams in L.A.
Ooh.
In primetime to open things up week one.
I think the Bears want to have – don't they have one of the tougher schedules in football? Is that right? I know you've got the NFC West on your schedule, which means you got to play the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Niners, and, of course, my Cardinals. But I think that would be maybe a game I wouldn't worry as much. But you're going to play those other three teams. That won't be easy. So this will be interesting. When is Justin Fields going to be inserted as the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears? You're going to see what. Do they play tomorrow night?
They do.
Okay. So they play tomorrow night.
I thought you were going to ask, when are we going to get to see Justin Fields? And I had the answer, tomorrow.
Finally
get to see him in some kind of game action. Now it's a preseason game against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But I will be all in on getting a chance to see him in a Bears uniform and see what he's able to do. Your Cardinals go tonight against the Cowboys.
I don't think Kyler Murray's even going to play.
Yeah, why would he?
In fact, the Cardinals, I don't know if you knew this. Well, there's no reason you would know this. In fact, if you knew this, then I'm gonna probably start to worry about you a little bit. The Cardinals had to sign three defensive linemen, like, yesterday just to have enough defensive linemen to play in the game. Because J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, a lot of these guys just sitting out right now. J.J.'s got a little bit of a injury, I guess, on a hamstring, and he's like, why am I rushing it back? So, you know, what are the three preseason games this year, I guess?
Yep.
And so for the Cardinals, it's like, blah, whatever. But for the Bears, I mean, this is a chance now for Justin Fields to get his first taste
of the NFL in terms of game. What are you expecting out of him? What do you expect the Bears? How much will they play him tomorrow night? And what do you expect out of him in his first taste, if you will, of game action?
I'm hoping he gets a decent amount of reps. Now, as you mentioned, the Cardinals having to add defensive linemen, I'm a little concerned about the Bears with their O-line issues and the injuries that they've had. Tevin Jenkins, who's supposed to be the starting left tackle, has been hurt. James Daniels suffered an injury. There was at one point, I think earlier this week, where they had like 8 available offensive linemen, period. And so when you're trying to switch to, all right, let's go with the 2s, and Fields trots out there with a center and 2 guards, and you're like, oh, boy.
Need our tackles to stay.
Yeah, so that will be interesting. And look, I need to take this with a patient approach a little bit. It's hard to do that when you see the clips of on Twitter where he's throwing just some beautiful dimes. And
I agree.
Obviously, when you go from Mitch Trubisky, who couldn't throw the ball down the field, I think he had – literally as many completions, beyond 20 yards as Fields had in one game against Clemson.
Unbelievable.
Different competition,
no
and
doubt.
Everything, but just opening up the offense. And I'm just afraid that he maybe won't get a fair shot at the starting job with, you know, working with the ones, getting a chance to throw to Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney. But it might just be inevitable that we're going to see Andy Dalton for a few weeks, and then Fields will work in. So ultimately, I just want to see him look comfortable, play with confidence, and really just unleash those physical tools that made him a first-round pick.
What do you think will be the best attribute of Justin Fields this year if he finally gets on the field, if he does play and does indeed start as the starting quarterback for the Bears? What's the one thing that you feel pretty confident in the fact that he's going to bring to the table? And then I'll ask you about what is the one thing you're most worried about with regards to him. I'll let you start whichever direction you want to go. If you want to start with the negative, with what are you more worried about, you can. Or what's the thing that you think, okay, some things could maybe go wrong, but I'm pretty positive he's going to be able to do this.
I think, as I was mentioning there, ability to push it down the field, to really stretch the defense. You have a guy like Darnell Mooney who's got speed and can take the top off of defense. Being able to pose that as a threat and really tap into a guy that, as a rookie, had a nice season, I think over 700 yards and 4 touchdowns, and did that with extremely subpar quarterback play. So I think the ability to throw it downfield accurately and just kind of have – I mean, he's got a great arm.
Right.
And being able to make any of those throws, I think that will open things up. And maybe that prevents an extra safety from being down in David Montgomery's running lane.
Ooh, or I like it.
Whatever that might be. When you read about him coming out of Ohio State and just some of the things you're wondering, and it's pretty common for college quarterbacks. It's just the speed of the game and how things are processed fast enough and ability to make the right decisions. I think that's something that obviously for a lot of college quarterbacks, that's a big transition. And I guess maybe as I'm thinking here and I'm thinking about, okay, Aaron Donald, week one, if I am really pushing for Fields to see him week one, things process even quicker when that guy's coming off the
edge. You'll get him, Andy Dalton.
That might make sense, honestly.
Exactly. No, I could see that. And, you know, you look at a guy like Justin Fields, who obviously played in a high level in the college football, of course, landscape, and finished with one of his best games, right? I mean, his final game in college was very impressive. Or was that the Big Ten championship game, I'm thinking?
He was great in the semis of the college football playoffs against Clemson,
where
he took that, I mean, just that mean shot from the Clemson linebacker and still stayed in the game and still tore them up in the secondary. Alabama kind of stole the show. And not that he was bad in that game, but in particular, just seeing that against Clemson. And overall, he played well, where it was actually the Big Ten championship game against Northwestern where he struggled, and
that's
that kind of hurt his stock a little bit.
Okay, so here I am calling one game and the other, and I forgot there was one in between, and that's the one that he really kicked butt on. And that championship game, that's the Devontae Smith game for me, when he just absolutely shredded Ohio State in the first half. I joked the other day, I think, with you, and I'm like, I think he could have had 1,000 yards receiving if they just would have kept throwing to him. I don't think anybody was stopping him. But, yeah, that's very true. You mentioned David Montgomery. he is obviously a really good running back. I think, and fantasy owners would maybe tell you this, that they're wanting a little more out of David Montgomery. But I think the Bears in general, Derek, I think Montgomery is a guy that is exactly what the Bears need. But you stated it a little bit earlier with that offensive line. I don't care how good of a running back you are, see Zeke Elliott. I mean, sometimes, you know, the Cowboys last year were so injured on that offensive line that there's no chance for a running back. And you've seen that a little bit out of David Montgomery, where a lot of times you're hoping for these big chunks and he's getting you basically 3.2 yards every carry, which, you know, if you're going to play that kind of game, then I guess it'll help, but that's not what you need in the NFL. Is it just simply that when that offensive line is pretty good, then David Montgomery will be really good?
I think so. That's my expectation. Now, rookie year, he was below 4 yards of carries at 3.7, and a little disappointing and underwhelming. I know our friend Brad Evans has been super high on him.
Big time.
From the moment the Bears drafted him. Now, Brad's a Bears fan, but coming out of Iowa State, he had high grades and was someone that had the make-you-miss ability that a lot of people really liked. And last year was better. He went over 1,000 yards on the ground, 4.3 yards per carry, 8 rushing touchdowns. So that's an improvement for sure.
That's a lot better.
And that was correlated with a little bit better offensive line play.
Right.
But the injuries concern me, and just overall being able to open things up. But I do think that, in particular, when Fields gets in there, an ability to just kind of open up the playbook and take the handcuffs off of the quarterback.
Point.
I think that can help Montgomery a good amount, and he's a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield as well.
Isn't it funny? We're a month from the NFL season. We're a couple of weeks from Illinois, and we've gone all crazy and just talking about Illinois football especially, but also the Chicago Bears now. We're kind of previewing them, and here we're a month away. But this is what happens when the Cubs and Cardinals stink. I mean, this is what we have to do, you know, even on a glorious day like today. It's like, nope, we can't talk Cardinals-Cubs. We've got to talk Chicago Bears. One last thing, and then I want to catch a break. We've got, by the way, Trev's ticket coming up, as mentioned. A lot of stuff from around college football. Last week, we kind of focused a little bit more on the NFL. This week, we'll focus more on the college game. Defensively for the Bears, any concern at all, or are you pretty set with the idea that if they can get any kind of play out of a quarterback, especially Justin Fields, that defense is good enough to win games?
They're good enough to win games for sure. Are they an elite defense again? I think that's the major question. And we've ragged on, with Trevor and I, being the Bears fans, have ragged on Chuck Pagano a bunch.
Yep.
Now that he's not there, he ran a style that, where Kyle Fuller, we talked about it, being 9-10 yards off the ball and just easy completions for quarterbacks seemed to be the mode of that defense. And it took them from being top of the league in defense to really being not bad, but
right,
you know, 5-10
yep,
range and being a good to very good depending on the day. But you want to see Khalil Mack get back to what he was in year one, being with the Bears and just wreaking havoc really on a weekly basis. That
agreed,
hasn't necessarily been the case. Akeem Hicks needs to stay healthy. Eddie Jackson, a guy that was
– he's big.
An all-pro type of pro bowler at one point, you know, in 2018, but since then have not seen anything close to that. He was flat-out bad last year, so I still have concerns. And when you paid all that money to Robert Quinn, and I don't – did he have –
did he have a
did
sack?
Did he have 3 sacks last year?
I don't even
know.
Did
he have a sack? there are built-in question marks about them, and especially when you got old A-Rod back in the division. Not that I'm sitting here even contemplating, are we going to be able to compete in the North and challenge him, but just overall, the defense is built to win now. So I think that you want to see that. You want to be able to see them put whoever's at quarterback in a position to be competitive. And if the offense were to say surprise and things clicked with Fields or maybe Dalton is serviceable, that defense, if they are up to their potential, can make you a playoff team again.
Totally agree. Isn't that funny? I mean, you made the trade for Mack. They were unbelievable. Then Cody Parkey, is that his name? Misses the field goal. And then since then, your offense has been just very average to bad. And yet your defense is like, all right, we're built to win now, but our offense isn't ready to even come close to winning. And I don't think that's the case this year in terms of that offense, unless they really surprise me. But they should be better. So maybe you can get a little bit out of both units and see what happens. So, all right, there you go. Little NFL Chicago Bears preview. We need to do some more of this.
Do. I'm a little – look, I'm like new part of the relationship geek. Like everything is going to excite me. Like me and the girlfriend are going to Chipotle, and I'm just fired up. And you're – because that's me and Justin Fields right now.
Right.
Anything is just like the best thing in the world, where on your side is – I already know what I got.
Exactly.
I'm not even feeling Chipotle. I'm just going to sit back and wait. I'll just eat something at home. And,
I'll order a pizza and just sit back and
chill. When Friday night comes, we'll go do something nice. Like, that's the preseason versus the regular season for anybody that actually has a quarterback.
That's so true in a heartbeat. And it's, hey, you know what? It is preseason time. So, my Cardinals tonight, your Bears tomorrow. So, talking a little football. Jay Cutler, by the way, back on Twitter.
He is.
Yeah. So, he's always an interesting cat.
Definitely.
He's like, how do you send pictures on this thing? Is there a certain button I push or something? I'm like, you sound like me now. You sound like, you know, old man. Oh, I about said, I'm going to say it, 50. Drink. Old man Lante.
It's funny how he's gotten more likable now that he's out of the game.
It is amazing, isn't it? Hmm. All right, Trevor is staring at me because he knows that we're going to go long on Trev's Ticket. We always go long on Trev's Ticket. In fact, to the point where we never give him enough time to finish Trev's Ticket. So quick break now. When we come back, a little Trev's Ticket. And of course, if you want to weigh in, you always can. 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. Find us on Twitter at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lante ESPN. See you.
I am at T Valise. If you want more unsolicited genius betting advice, I'm sure Trev's Ticket will be fire, as they say today, considering the streak that we're on after last night.
I'm a D Piper 247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tanepiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevieJay.com, stevieJay.com, or you can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
And Trevor, no, you're not giving your Twitter account. You did that earlier this week. That's enough for you. All right, we're back. Trev's Ticket is next. It's The Drive. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise in studio. Well, not really. He's across the glass, but you know how it is. We a lot of times like to say he's in studio, but it's kind of his thing, Derek Piper.
It's
so
the
we
penalty
have to,
box, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. But it is time for a little Trev's Ticket. I love that we're doing this. I was telling you, Derek, that I was approached last weekend by a few guys that were like, why don't you guys do more betting segments? We love it. So the last betting segment we did was on NFL, essentially, and who was, you know, some over-under win totals for these football teams and what we liked, etc. Today we thought we'd go more of the college route. Now, are we doing Illinois today? We got to, right?
They're on the table. They're fair game.
Okay.
Unless you actually want to fire away from here in the studio, which you cannot.
No.
But
no.
As far as breaking it down and
okay, we're going to do that
driving
today.
Across the state line.
Okay. I like this. I'm anxious to hear because one of you guys did that one. I did some random like places I've been, like Ole Miss, Arizona State. I just did some random ones there. I also picked Virginia, a school that Illinois will be playing this season. So I guess, Trevor, do you want to introduce Trev's Ticket?
First of all, you should have your own segment just called like betting on teams and places I've been with Lante. But yeah, let's.
It would quickly end, though. I haven't been that many places to watch
football. That's true. There'd be a lot of Florida area teams.
Right.
And that's about it. But yes, let's fire up Trev's Ticket.
You gamble?
Gambling? Who said anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
It's my money, and I need it now.
Everything here revolves around betting.
Come on, sweetheart. That's gambling. You want a gambling? That's gambling.
It's my money, and I need it now.
From casino to casino.
You do not have a gambling problem. You do not owe $15,000. It's $20,000.
I want to be a billionaire.
That's sneaky sniffy. You're like sniffy in a bad way.
Okay.
It's my money, and I need it now.
Oh, gambling's fun and easy.
the guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
It's my money, and I need it now!
Here comes the money!
Oh, here we go. All right, Trevor, I will even let you start.
Wow.
Since it is basically your ticket.
Okay, I'm going to start in the SEC, but I'm not taking Lon's places I've been team.
Okay.
I will instead go with Brett Bielema's former employer, Arkansas, and I'm going to hammer them on the under 5.5. They currently sit at 5.5. I have one main reason for doing this. They have the toughest strength of schedule in the country.
Wow.
They are number one out of 130 teams in Division I football. They've lost 20 of their last 23 SEC games.
My goodness.
They won three last year, but were on a 20-game conference losing streak prior to that.
And Brett Bielema won some games there. That
I think
gives
he went
you a little hope, right?
4-7-8-4.
Wow. Okay. Well, and honestly, what would the worst strength of schedule number ever be for somebody in the SEC? 15?
That's true.
Playing every best team in college football, so just by chance, you're going to have a hard strength of schedule.
But to that point, I mean, they're probably the worst team in the toughest division in football.
Right.
Their non-cons are Georgia Southern and Texas. Georgia Southern feels like they go like 11-2 every year, even though they're a lesser team, and Texas is still Texas, even if they're not back. So basically, all Arkansas has to do is finish below 6-6.
Okay.
And I'm just betting on that toughest schedule and that 20 of 23 SEC losing streak they're on. So I'll take under 5.5 on Arkansas.
Okay, I like it. All right, Derek, let me go because I'm going to stick in the SEC. Is that cool?
Go for it.
I'm going to go with Ole Miss. Oh, baby, down in Oxford, the Grove. Great place to tailgate. Did it. Their number right now is 7.5. Don't take the over. Take the under on Ole Miss at 7.5. I know Lane's there. He's the guy. But how about some of this schedule? In fact, this 7.5 might depend on week one. It's kind of like Illinois against Nebraska coming up. But on week one, Ole Miss hosts Louisville. And that is a game where I think both teams are projected to win about 7.5 games. That's going to be a swing game for one of those schools. I don't think Ole Miss gets that done. And then you look down the schedule, they've got at Alabama, they're at Tennessee, they host LSU, they're at Auburn. Where are you getting wins in there, right? You got Texas A&M at home. You do close with Vanderbilt, and then, of course, you got the Egg Bowl at Mississippi State is the problem there. And I could see Ole Miss' schedule actually coming down to where they've got to win that Egg Bowl to get to 8 wins. And over that 7.5 target, I just don't think it happens. Take the under on Ole Miss.
I like this. I think you're going to like my pick.
Okay.
To kick things off. I'm going to the Big Ten. Your guy, Scott Frost.
Oh,
Nebraska under 6.5 wins.
Yeah.
-130 on DraftKings. I am taking the under. Adrian Martinez is back on the saddle at quarterback. There's just a fractured relationship between him and Scott Frost.
Yes.
Obviously, last year, him getting benched for Luke McCaffrey, who was objectively terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian back now playing in. I mean, they got to play Illinois to kick things off. That's extremely tough. And that's a little bit of sarcasm in there. But you're looking at their schedule. They open up on the road against a team that beat them by multiple touchdowns last year. They got Buffalo at home.
Yet they're 7-point favorites against that Illinois team.
They are. That's true. Buffalo Lance Leipold's old squad, which was solid last year enough to have him on our airwaves as far as conversation. He ends up at Kansas. At Oklahoma, they're not going to win that game.
No.
And then Michigan State, which I know they were bad last year, but they did beat Michigan and Northwestern. They're kind of like, as Tom Fornelli, our friend, guy from the area, called him like an agent of chaos. So that's a schedule where things could go south early for Nebraska, just some turmoil, and then it turns where they got Ohio State, they got at Wisconsin, they got Iowa. I just think it's gonna end for Scott Frost, and it's gonna end badly.
Okay, how strange is it that, and I know you guys are younger, you don't remember the heyday, if you will, of Nebraska football, even though that school still sells out every game, over 100,000. That the Lincoln faithful are amazing. You'll see it here on August 28th. They travel very well, but it is so weird to a guy like me that remembers, like, maybe at the age of 16, walking into Memorial Stadium when Illinois is playing Nebraska, knowing you've got no shot, and they beat you like 45-3. That's what Nebraska was to me. That's how I remember Nebraska. It's taken a few years to kind of punch holes in that thought for me. You know, it's kind of like that high school team you can never beat. And you're just like, well, they're just always better than us. And you take the field, you take the court, whatever. You're already beaten, essentially. And that's what it felt like always with Nebraska. But here is a team that, man, it's weird talking about the idea that, you know, woe is me, right? They had a guy there that was winning 8-9 wins a year, and they get rid of him. Couldn't stand the shtick, essentially. They bring in Scott Frost, who won the proverbial national championship in his mind, and it has not been good ever since. So this is such a huge year, which scares me a little bit as an Illinois fan for game one, because you talk about somebody backed up against a corner, that's Scott Frost. But you know what? Talent is still talent, and I don't think Nebraska's got the talent. I'm with you on this. I like that goal.
What was the number?
6.5.
I mean, they could go 6-6, and you'd win.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, in their eyes, they might have had a decent year, and you would still win on that under. So, I mean, I really like that.
Would that save Scott Frost's job, 6-6?
Probably, right?
If Nebraska fans understand.
They're in a bowl game, right?
You think they're understanding right now?
Well, that's a good point.
They've been going through.
That's a great point. Now, I don't think 6 wins does it. I don't know what he would have to win.
Do you think he'd get fired if he went, like, 7-6 with a bowl win?
Well, they fired.
After going, like, 4-5-4?
Don't think they would either. I think they would see it as progress and understand that they're on their way up. But, man, they want to win
Ron
9 Zuck or 10
fired
games.
At 6-6?
Yeah. Right. I guess it depends on how you get to the 6-6, right?
Yes. They want to win 9 or 10 games, and they used to win 9 or 10 games. So
that
who knows?
Feels like a high number.
Yeah, 6.
6.5?
Yeah.
I'm just like, man.
I agree.
What have they done to warrant that?
This is why Derek Piper gives you dimes.
I'll give you another I'll go to the ACC now and give you a dime on a team that you probably know nothing about, Georgia Tech. I'm going to go under 5.5 on Georgia Tech, just like I did on Arkansas.
Are they going to be your team every week like Army was?
No, I've got that team coming up.
Oh, okay.
Georgia Tech went 3-7 last year. PFF graded them as having one of the worst starting quarterbacks in America. They did nothing to address that this offseason, as far as I'm aware. They have the second toughest strength of schedule in the country behind Arkansas.
Wow.
Are you sensing a theme with my picks here?
I do see this.
And the two teams that they play out of conference, unless Notre Dame is now in the ACC, but I don't think they are.
Didn't they just join it for COVID?
So they're two out-of-conference games. It's the rivalry game with Georgia.
Wow.
Who might be like number two in the country by then. And they have to play them every year because it's Georgia Tech. And then Notre Dame.
Oh.
Both on the road, I believe. So, I mean, I just don't see how Georgia Tech gets to 6 wins with those two out-of-conference games and a really tough strength of schedule. Obviously, they get Clemson. And I know the ACC is a little bit more of a pushover than the SEC, but still, when you have really bad quarterback play, your two out-of-conference games are Notre Dame and Georgia, and you've got a tough ACC schedule, I don't think they're going 6-6.
Okay, I'm going to stick in the ACC and go with the team that Illinois is going to learn a lot about on week 3, and that's Virginia, 10 a.m. kickoff in Charlottesville. Are you kidding me? Virginia, the number is over 6, and the thing that scares me there is I'm going to call a pusher at 6. But we've got to figure out whether or not we're betting, right?
Get your money back.
We got it. Yeah, you get your money back, so you could take the chance. But I'll go ahead and go over, and here's why. Derek, you know, because you know all about this kid, and you told me basically about him and broke him down, and that's Brandon Armstrong, their quarterback. First of all, they've got non-conference games against William & Mary. They're at BYU. They've got Notre Dame, so they're going to have to do a lot of their hay in the ACC because hopefully they're not beating Illinois. You know they're not beating Notre Dame, and that game at BYU won't be easy by any means. But Brandon Armstrong is a guy that had 23 touchdowns both in the air and on the ground. All of their offensive line is back. Does that sound familiar, Illinois fans? I mean, there's going to be a lot of similarities between Virginia and Illinois. It's weird that I say this, that I think Illinois is going to beat Virginia, but very easily, that could be a win for Virginia, and that's the reason I'm going to go over 6 for Virginia to get it done there. I'm shaky on that selection, so I would take yours a lot more strength, in other words, with your picks, but why not? Let's go over 6 for Virginia.
I do like that pick because you might be shaky on the pick. I'm shaky on Illinois going to Virginia and getting a win.
That's a good call.
Armstrong's a dangerous dual threat guy. They got receivers back, a whole offensive line, and by their numbers, they're pretty good against the run. They got to be a lot better against those in the air this upcoming year. Since you guys win ACC, I've got a little bit – I'm not win total here. I'm going to take a Heisman shot in the ACC. I'm going to go Sam Howell at North Carolina, their quarterback.
I love it.
16-1 to win the Heisman. He has thrown 68 touchdowns before becoming an upperclassman. So he's now a junior, and as a freshman and sophomore, threw 68 combined touchdowns. North Carolina won a lot of games last year. He obviously had a ton of success. And I think their schedule sets up really well for his potential Heisman campaign. It's favorable early on. Then you get to October 16th at home against Miami, which is a big game, but it is at home. Then after that, they're at Notre Dame. So some prime time opportunities, some big games for him to win. They don't play Clemson in the regular season.
Oh, that's huge.
And maybe they beat in their one attempt against Clemson in the ACC title game. Maybe they get them. So I'm going to take a shot on Sam Howell at 16-1.
I like that potential exposure in the title game against Clemson. Like, say they were to win that game and he was really good.
Oh.
Like, the whole world would be talking about him at
that point.
So I like that.
I also like how Derek steps out of just the norm and goes with, instead of an over and under, because I don't ever think like that outside the box. That's why you guys are what you are.
I've got a division winner one coming up.
Oh.
But first I'll go to my, I'm already going to declare them my team for this year.
Here we go.
My random team. I'm going to go Wyoming over 4.5.
Let's do it.
Why not?
Wyoming!
Now, in 2019, with the last regular season, they went 6-2. Last year, I don't know why they only had 8 games, by the way, in 2019, because I don't think anything was affected COVID-wise in 2019. But
that is weird.
In any case, last year they went 2-4, so obviously a down year for the COVID year. But they're sitting at 4.5 as their over-under. Guess who has the easiest strength of schedule in America this year?
So you went 2 tough strength of schedules. Yep. You're going the easiest with Wyoming.
The Wyoming Cowboys. They play Montana State, Northern Illinois, Ball State, UConn. Hey, UConn does exist.
They do have a team.
Air Force, Fresno State, New Mexico, Colorado State, Boise State. Obviously, that's going to be a tough one. We'll chalk that one up as a loss. Basically, all I'm saying we need to get to here is 5-7.
Yeah.
And with a front schedule of Montana State, Northern Illinois, Ball State, UConn, I think there's 3 or 4 right there.
I like this.
So I'm just going to randomly side with the Cowboys this year. Give me the Josh Allens, the fighting Josh Allens, Wyoming.
I love this. Okay. I'm going to go to the Pac-12 and Arizona State. And why? Because my son's a senior. Why do I think it's going to be the over? Because I want my son's senior year to be big when it comes to football. And why else? Because they've got Jaden Daniels. And if you've never watched him play, he is fun to watch. He's quick. He gets out of the pocket. He's got one of those wrist-like throws that can go down about 80 yards, it seems like, on the run. And I like their schedule. So Arizona State is over 9. That's a lot. That's probably too much. If this was 8 or 8.5, I'd be throwing a lot of money on this. But I'm going to say Arizona State gets the over 9. First of all, they don't play Oregon. They get to play Oregon State. They get to play Arizona, who is one of the worst football teams in the country for some reason. And a lot of their winnable games are at home. Washington State's at home. Stanford, that could be a toss-up, but they're at home. Colorado's at home. So you've got games like that, and plus the USC game on November 6th, which, by the way, is Parents Weekend. And by the way, guys, I'm going to need November 5th off,
noted,
just so you know, before I head to Hawaii. So, yeah, I think I'm going to be at that one against USC. I've got to go watch USC, right, playing Arizona State. I think this is the year. It's been some turmoil in the offseason there with some coaches that have gotten a little bit into trouble with investigation. Herm Edwards seems to skate all that. I feel like this could be the year that Herm Edwards' squad gets it done. Jaden Daniels is that good. Take the over, even though it's big, and it should be really good odds on Arizona State over 9.
I really like that pick. Really, they should have won the opener at USC last year.
Yes.
They blew that game. I hate to say it. I know that you're a Sun Devils fan and obviously Lucas
as
well.
It's true, though.
But they had that game and gave up 2 big drives late. So just correct that. And also UCLA, that was a late loss as well
for
them. So I like them this upcoming year. I'm going to give you, going to the Big Ten, and this is kind of a boring pick, but the numbers just bear it out. It's Ohio State, and it's over 11. So the only way you win is if they go undefeated, but the only way you lose is if they lose 2 games in the regular season.
Yeah.
You're telling me the Buckeyes are going to lose 2 games in the regular season?
They're either pushing or winning.
Yeah, so Justin Fields is gone. I understand that. They got C.J. Stroud, who's a former 5-star. I mean, you know the story with Ohio State.
Yeah.
Lose X, replace it with 5-star.
Correct.
That's what they do. They have one of, if not the best, wide receiver tandem in Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. Master Teague is back. It sounds like a rapper, but he's back in
no
the backfield at running back.
Not only a rapper, but an agent.
There you go.
Wasn't Master P an agent?
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah. So, and you look at their schedule, tough game in the non-con against Oregon, but it is at home. And then really their Big Ten slate is not at Rutgers, Maryland at home, at Indiana, Penn State, at Nebraska, Purdue, Michigan State, at Michigan.
So the at Michigan, that's the only thing that gives me pause. And I'm with you. They're going to beat Oregon, I think. I think they're going to be fine. They always have one little scare, like think Indiana, you know, every year. They always have that scare game, but I think they get by that. Jim Harbaugh has got to beat Ohio State at some point, doesn't he?
He does. He needs a quarterback first.
That's a good point. So you would think, okay, that game's at the Big House.
At the Big House.
And it's going to be one of those that Michigan fans are going to be, oh, they're going to be salivating for that one. But, like you said, even if they lose that, it's a push. You get your money back.
Yep. And final stat for you, Ryan Day, 18-0 in regular season games at Ohio State.
Could anybody have fallen into a better spot than Ryan Day? But you got to give him credit. He's done a great job, obviously. But I don't know. It's just one of those jobs, like I always said about Krzyzewski. And you're seeing it right now with John Shire. He's never even coached. And he's already got like a top one or two recruiting class in the country. Because guess what? It's Duke. I feel like someone, Tim Beckman, could go into Ohio State and win 10 or 11 games every year. I'm positive of that.
The rich get richer.
Yeah, baby.
I will stick in the Big Ten, and I will go with Illinois.
No, here we go.
It's hard for me to sit here and go like, I swear I'm being unbiased, but I genuinely do feel like 3.5 is a low number when you look at this schedule.
It's ridiculous.
When you look at the fact that they're bringing back more super seniors than anyone in the country.
Dude, I'm going to dump like $500 into my account and make a $500 wager that Illinois gets over 3.5. Come on!
They have the fifth most experience of any team in the country. I know it's a new system, but it's a better system, pretty inarguably. And I mean, searching for 4 wins I don't think is that hard. I mean, give me one of Nebraska, Maryland, Purdue. I'm asking for one of those.
Yep.
Then give me two of Charlotte, Virginia, UTSA, and then just give me one of Rutgers, Northwestern at home.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're at 4. I know, like, you could say, well, you're not going to beat Northwestern. There's Rutgers.
Right.
And, again, that's saying give me one of Nebraska, Maryland, Purdue.
Oh, man.
I don't know, guys. I'm on board. I'll take the over 3.5.
I'm with you. Because, I mean, that Nebraska and Maryland game are two huge home games. If you think about it, if you beat Nebraska, and we talked about this, heck, we talked about it this week. If you beat Nebraska, this fan base is going to be going crazy. I mean, they're going to love the idea of what you got going. Then you get UTSA. Not that, as Derek Piper will point out, can't be a little bit of a scary situation, but let's say they win that game. You go to Virginia, you never know, but then you're back home on a Friday against Maryland at 8 p.m. Memorial Stadium at night. Come on. I'm with you on that one. Trevor, I am riding high on Illinois getting the over. I mean, you know me. I think they win 6 or 7 games anyway.
Sure. So you'll take half of that at 3.5.
That's
right?
Exactly right. I mean, I think it's stupid, the lack of respect for this Illinois football team this year. This will be the final year I ever doubt Vegas, but it's stupid, the lack of respect that everybody has on Illinois. You can't win 4 games with 22 guys back for their 5th year. If you can't, then I need to pick a new program, maybe.
Plus, I don't know how your sports book works, but with a number this low, if they beat Nebraska week 1, you could be cashing out by the 5th week of the college football season. Although maybe they wait until the end of the year to settle all the
normally, I think they wait.
Anyways.
But that'll be a nice Christmas present to wait on.
Absolutely. I trust Trevor's math in that. I trust Lon's emotion and places I've been. Illinois, obviously. Lon will be a guy to see. If he legitimately has $500 on this over,
let's go.
And they beat Nebraska night 1, you're going to want to hang out with him after that game.
Amen. Because I don't know what the odds are, but I'm going to look. Let's go. Let's do it. All right, what do you got, Derek? I don't have any more.
All right.
You're out.
I know that's shocking.
Well, you've run out of places that you've been.
Right, exactly.
True.
Add Hawaii football next year to the places you've been on the betting
side. I was in Colorado a couple of years ago in Boulder climbing a hike. I didn't go to a game.
You got anything on the Buffs?
That was the day. Remember I told you I woke up at like crazy hour, like 5:30 in the morning for some reason, was wide awake. And I'm like, I went outside to get some ice in the hotel room, and a Nebraska fan walks by me with a cooler loaded up with beer. He's ready to roll because Nebraska was in Boulder that week. And I'm like, tailgate time, huh? And he goes, oh, yeah, baby. I'm like, I like it. Well, bring it on, Nebraska. Maybe I'll see that dude again, and guess what? You're going to get whipped.
Maybe you can bring the ice to your tailgate, though.
Yeah,
Be friendly for 5 minutes after that.
Right.
I'll reemphasize that last week I had Wisconsin minus 120 to win the Big Ten West. I still feel very strongly about that. But I have another one in the Big Ten. Penn State under 9 wins.
Ooh.
A lot of people expecting a bounce back for Penn State, which I can understand that. They're not as bad as the 0-5 start as they had last year. They won their last 4. Of course, Illinois was one of those.
Yep.
But they beat Michigan, Rutgers, Michigan State, and Illinois. So that wasn't super impressive, especially where Michigan was at that point. I just don't really trust Sean Clifford at quarterback. I don't think he's that great. I think he's too inconsistent. And ultimately, 9 wins is fairly steep. So I'm taking the under for a team that has to open up at Wisconsin.
Ooh.
They got Auburn at home, but Auburn's going to be a ranked, top 25 caliber team that they got to face in the non-con. They got Indiana at home, at Iowa, at Ohio State. I'm under on Penn State.
That Indiana game at home could be a big difference there. Because I feel like if that's in Bloomington, I'm going more with Indiana in that one. But
that thriller last year, Michael Penix, the full extension to win that one for the Hoosiers.
I still don't know if he got that.
I know. Penn State's wanting some revenge on that one.
That is true.
Okay, this is my last one. I discovered you can parlay conference winners,
ooh,
which is a dangerous game.
Especially for Lante, who loves parlays.
So I'm just trying to find some value where you can throw $5 on it and win big. So I'm going to parlay Georgia and Oregon to win the SEC and the Pac-12, respectively. Georgia, I think, a lot of people, obviously Alabama's Alabama, and I get it.
Exactly.
But it seems like there's a lot of buzz behind Georgia in the sense of, like, they open up at Clemson, don't they?
I don't know.
It's like Georgia-Clemson week 0 or week 1 to start the season. If they were for some reason to win that game, then suddenly they've unseated Alabama for number 1, right?
I agree.
At least going into week 2 of the year.
And this is just their division, right?
No. This is to win the SEC championship.
Okay, they have to win the SEC. Okay, wow.
But Oregon is the best team in the Pac-12, but they're plus 180 because no one knows who the hell's going to win the Pac-12.
Exactly.
And as you just mentioned, Arizona State, they have a high over-under. I think Washington has a high over-under. So I'm just going to side with the second best team in the toughest conference in football in the SEC and the best team in the worst conference in football, the Pac-12. And, they both win. That's $10 to win 500.
Okay.
On Georgia and Oregon.
$10 to win 500?
Yep.
Can't argue with that.
You just literally silenced me.
I mean, Georgia's plus 900 because Alabama's such a heavy favorite to win the SEC.
I mean, that's worth $10.
If for some reason they were to get into that title game and then beat Alabama, because they're not in the same division.
Oh,
right?
Cow.
And having already beaten maybe Clemson earlier in the year.
Yes.
I just feel, and again, Oregon is the favorite to win the Pac-12, but they're plus money because no one knows who's going to win the Pac-12. So that was the value I saw.
I'm in. I'm in for 5 to win 250.
There you go.
Okay.
Because I'm giving a lot of my money to Illinois to at least win 4. Oh,
I like it.
You got any more, Derek?
No, I'm out.
You're out too?
Out of bullets.
Okay. I didn't bring as many, but I love this.
What was
segment.
Yours again, Lon?
I had Ole Miss under
7.5.
7.5. I had Virginia over 6. Maybe a win against Illinois in there. And then I had Arizona State for some reason over 9.
Okay.
I feel like they're going to have a good season. And a couple of those swing games, like Derek said, with USC, UCLA, hopefully they go the Wildcats way, and I think they went over 9 this
year. And you also put 500 on Illinois over.
And 500 on Illinois over. Now, I don't know if I'm going to go 500 yet. I'm going to be honest. Maybe a couple hundred. Is that fair? Right.
Yeah, that is fair.
Okay, that's good enough.
Maybe I should go a couple hundred on Nebraska under 6.5 wins. That way you and I can really have a good time after that one here coming
top
up
shelf, baby.
August 28th. If it goes the way that, obviously it would be in the favor of those wagers.
Excuse me, I don't want any more Bud Light, and I don't want that Skol vodka. We're going Grey Goose and Tito's. It's top shelf night.
Can you parlay Illinois over 3.5 and Nebraska under 6.5?
I don't know. You'd be the expert at that. I need to find that out next week on Trev's Ticket. How about
that? I've got Sam Howell, North Carolina's quarterback, 16-1 to win the Heisman. Got Ohio State over 11 wins. I know to cash that, they need to go undefeated. For you to lose your money, they got to lose 2 regular season games. So,
good luck with that.
I'm going with that. And then Penn State under 9 wins.
That's interesting on that one. That'll be interesting to watch.
That's a high over-under for a team that went, what did they go last year? Like 3-4 I mean, I know last
4-5, I think.
Okay, 4-5.
That's right.
But they started out like 0-4, didn't they?
Yeah.
So,
good call.
I've got Arkansas under 5.5, Georgia Tech under 5.5, Wyoming over 4.5, Illinois over 3.5, Georgia, Oregon to win their conferences.
Okay. People on the text line are essentially saying that you guys are smart and then they don't trust me. I don't blame them. I don't blame you at all until I actually can win. Although I have had a couple here, a couple 217s that are like, I'm with Lon. We're going heavy on the over on Illinois. Let's get it done. All right, still to come on the show, we talked to Coleman Hawkins, Derek. That was fun to visit with him, and we've visited about, you know, how he could be an X factor. Sometimes I get tired of hearing myself say that, but he's certainly a guy that could play a big role on this team, even with Kofi coming back. You would have needed a bigger role yep. out of Coleman Hawkins if Kofi didn't come back, but that was a fun conversation. So I know you were able to set that up, and I thought, let's play that again today in case everybody didn't get really a chance to hear that. So we're going to do that coming up here on the top of the hour. Bottom of the hour, we got some Illinois football sound. I know training camp's getting ready to wrap up. Speaking of Illinois football, man, I'm ready, man. It's been so hot. And I know that those first few tailgates can be really hot. And it's kind of weird because it's technically not really football weather, right? When it's 90 degrees or whatever and you're walking in sweating. But I'm just, man, I'm fired up. I cannot wait for this opener. So we're going to give you a little more football sound from training camp, et cetera, as Brett Bielema gets ready for year one with Illinois. So get all that. We'll do all that next hour as we roll along. Had to get Trevor in. Trevor, you can go home now, I guess.
Okay.
Well, that was easy. But it was Trev's ticket, so we had to keep him here long enough. No Hans D today.
Again.
Is he even working? We don't know if he's even working anymore. Does he still get paid?
Yes, I hear that he is still being... It's like an electronic, you know, wire now.
Yeah, EFT or wireless.
Yeah, handsomely
paid.
Yeah.
Handsomely paid, and he doesn't even have to show up. This is cockiness at its finest. And there's nothing that any of us or Stevie can do because that's how much of a brand Hans D is. So no Hans today. And you know what, Hans? I don't even care.
That's fine. When we ultimately see him, we know that he's going to have the pilot's aviators.
Yeah.
Just flash the license.
Yeah.
The commercial pilot license. And we're just like, yeah, he is pretty cool.
So, right.
You know, that's whatever.
Yeah, we can't be mad at him after that because you're like, you are all of a sudden the coolest person I know. And I hate that he's the coolest person I know. All right, we're back. It is The Drive.